This time, please open your Bible to John chapter 20 as we conclude this chapter and start going through the final chapter in this gospel. This is an important passage because it gives us the purpose of this gospel. The purpose of John states it very clear. That's why I didn't tag it on from last week. It was enough to learn everything we could based on the lesson from Thomas' absence, and then Thomas 8 days later seeing his Lord and that monumental claim, "My Lord and my God." And we have that promise by our Lord, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And then John goes into verse 30 and 31, which simply reads as follows: "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." Let's pray. Father, what a powerful two verses. It set the tone, gives us the key, tells us the theme of this whole book. And if we do not carry the template throughout the entire reading of the gospel, study of the gospel, we're going to miss the vital and important of this gospel. So often we get carried away in the miracles, the teaching, the events, the narrative, and yet we forget the main reason why it was written and given to us. And so, Father, we pray that you will help us. Help us to look to you, trust you, and to not to be familiar that we develop discontent or contempt for your precious word, but that we would always, as the song we just sang, never forget the wonder of your love for us, your sending of your Son at the display of your love for sinners, and his willingness to come for the same reason. So be with it, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of introduction, when we come to the end of chapter 20, the two verses that close the chapter, verses 30 and 31, we come to John's purpose statement. This is why he wrote the gospel. John MacArthur said it this way: John had stated two purposes for his gospel. One is evidential, and the other is evangelistic. The first appeals to reason. The second appeals to faith. The first is that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, based on the evidence. And second is that you, in believing, may have life in His name. That is evangelistic. John laid out for us the evidence that Jesus is, in fact, God's anointed Messiah. He is God's Son. He is the only Redeemer. The evidence is here so that we may believe, and by believing have eternal life in His name. It can be summarized in probably one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture that speak to the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, meaning it is Christ and Christ alone that saved. Acts 4, verse 12. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible teaches that we must believe, teach, and proclaim the exclusivity of Jesus Christ as the way of salvation. I stress this because the world hates this part of our faith. We tell them, every one of them, you're wrong because He and He alone is the answer. He and He alone is the only place and way to salvation, way to be reconciled to God. Let it be clear what John is saying throughout this gospel. There is no other name by which we can be saved from sin and eternal judgment. There is no other redeemer. There is no other way to God. There is no other door to heaven. There is no other one to reconcile us to God, only Jesus. He is the only Savior. He is the only source of the escape from judgment. He is the only way to eternal life. We see it really clear in John 8:24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sin, for if you do not believe I am He, you will die in your sin. John 14:6, we all know that one. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except through me. Exclusivity of Christ. Christ and Christ alone. We always talk about John 3:16. How about John 3:18? He who believed in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So your damnation comes from not believing in Him. Your condemnation is because you refuse to embrace Him as your substitute. Apart from faith in Christ, there is no escape from eternal judgment. Therefore, it's critically important that God gives us the evidence that Jesus is, in fact, the only Savior. And that the evidence appealed to the reason, so that we can follow the evidence to that conclusion that He is the Messiah. In other words, where does the evidence take us? Lo and behold, Christ the Lord. That He is the Messiah, that He is the Son of God, He is the Redeemer, He is the Savior. There is no other gospel. There is no other God than the God of the Scripture. Everything else and every other God by name is phantom or demon. Scripture is clear on that. Any you see over and over throughout Old and New Testament, idols were always, and idol worship was the worshiping of demons. So what do we have here in the way of evidence that God gives us of the truth of Christ? Look at verse 30 again with me, please. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. The most important word in that verse is the word signs. You must catch that. Here we in the gospel record, we do not have an exhaustive account of Jesus' life, but it is sufficient for faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you add all the miracles of the four gospels, you'll come up with approximately 40 separate sign miracles that Jesus did. In particular, there are 7 unique sign miracles in the gospel of John. There are more, but ones that are considered as signs. It is not the number, but the significance of the miracle that is important. But that is by no means the sum of all that Jesus did, because when you look at the last 2 verses of the Gospel of John in chapter 21, in verse 24 and 25, it said this, "This is the disciple who testified of these things and wrote these things, And we know that a testimony of truth, though here John is speaking of himself, I have written these things, and everything I've written is true. Then he says these astounding words. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the book that would be written. Amen. That is a staggering statement, that the world could not even contain all that is displayed, the divine nature that Jesus demonstrated. His life was marked by these miracles. For 3 years, his life was marked by miracles after miracle after miracle, in an explosion of divine power that essentially banished disease from the land of Israel during his ministry. And that is a historical fact. What record we do have, there was an astounding piece of information that for that space of 3 years, people were healthy in Israel. And that because when Jesus healed, he healed. And he was doing things, there was no medicine like we know of today, no corrective surgery. How do you raise the dead? Well, we can't even do that now. We can't even hardly bring sight to the blind who was born blind, and many other things. But nevertheless, we see here that he virtually erased diseases. Now think about that in light of what I'm about to tell you, in the light of the word signs. The gospel writers recorded those that were signs that left evidence of who he is and who he was. When you look out throughout the New Testament, there are words in our translation such as miracle, wonders, mighty work, displays of supernatural power. They use the word power, but when you look at the definition in the Greek, you find out it was the power that only belonged to God, divine power to do this or that miracle that can't be done in the ordinary way. It is the supernatural power that only God can display. There are almost 200 such words in the New Testament. When we talk about signs, beloved, we are simply defining the purpose of a miracle. It's not about the miracle per se. The miracle pointed to something. That's what a sign is. When you are traveling, and especially if you're traveling like I do, I wonder how much farther it is to such and such a city. Or maybe if you're really nervous, I wonder if we're on the right road. But you see this sign, oh, such and such a town 120 miles away. Okay, keep on going, 120 miles away. As my dad would say, 60 miles an hour, a mile a minute, we're about 2 hours away. But the point is, beloved, sign pointed to something. It is to call our attention to something. That's why so many of the miracles would replay. There was a Greek word for miracles, wonders, power, and then there were signs that were supposed to send a message. You find a lot of them in here. When we talk about signs, we're simply defining the purpose of a miracle. You can use the word miracle when you see the word sign, but you will lose the significance of that word sign if you do that. But using the word sign gives it an indication of the purpose of the miracle. What is the purpose of the sign? A sign is pointed to something. When Jesus did his miracles, he was not just doing miracles for miracle's sake. When he did a miracle, they were pointing to him, directing you and I to look at him and see that these signs point to who he is. Old Testament said the Messiah will come doing signs and wonders. That a benchmark. Prophecy. Look for a man who can do these things. That's why John said in verse 31, these signs which have been written by John in this gospel have been written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we may have life in His name. The end goal of the miracle is eternal life. Not the healing, not a full belly of food. Salvation. Eternal life. That you may believe and that you may have life in His name. And it was only available in believing in Jesus Christ. Again, 31 says, these signs have been written by Him under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John that you may believe. But if we ask the question, what exactly is John saying, these signs? What is he talking about? I think it narrows down to 7 miracles that occur in the Gospel of John. We know there are more, but there are 7 for sure that has the element of signs with it. And we're going to look at them. That occurs in the Gospel of John. John records 7 specific miracles up to the end, including the resurrection. First one is found in, not the first miracle yet, but we have the purpose again for miracles, the sign that they may believe and that they may have life in His name. For example, John 5:36. But I have a greater witness than John, for the works which the Father had given me to finish, the very work that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. This is what He taught in His ministry. Believe the works. The works witness to who I am. That's in John 5:36. John 6, next chapter, 26:7. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, listen carefully, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sent His seal on Him. He rebuked them. The sign you miss. But you're happy having a full belly. John MacArthur said this, I have given you sign, and all you're doing is chasing sign for your own gratification. You want the food. You want the healing. You want the deliverance from demons. You want the deliverance from death. You are just chasing the sign, the miracle, not Him. John 8:28-30, and they said to Him, what shall we do that we may do the work of God? Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Answer. Therefore they said to Him, what sign will you perform then? That we may see it and believe you. What work will you do? There have been signs all along. Miracles throughout His Judean ministry. Miracles throughout His Galilean ministry. Miracles throughout the final year of His return to Judea. And still they wanted more signs. The signs were sufficient. But to them, it was never enough. All God had to do was give one, and it should have been suffice. But all throughout the Gospels, there were these signs. John chapter 10, verse 36 to 39. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blasphemy? Because I said, I am the Son of God. And I noticed, he made a declaration. I am the Son of God. Remember that, because in verse 31, it said one of the reasons why he wrote it and one of the reasons for the signs and miracles is to prove that I am the Christ, the Son of God. He had saying this clear in back in chapter 10, and you're accusing me of blasphemy because I said I'm the Son of God. Now we got a confrontation. We got some friction here, folks. Listen to this. Jesus simply said, if I do not do the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works. That you may know and believe. The purpose of the miracles and the works and the wonders and the mighty works was that they would come to know and believe. That the Father is in me and I in him. Now that should have been enough. That should have been, what is the only appropriate response? Fall on your knees and worship. Amen? Fall on your knees and confess. What was their response? Next verse. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. They wanted to kill him. Because in their mind, they cannot accept this man for whatever was going on in their head. They couldn't argue with the works. Yet they dismissed it. There were signs to point to him. So when we go through the Gospel of John, the very first sign that our Lord did was in John chapter 2. Where Jesus did his first miracle in his public ministry in Cana. Up until this point in his life, for at least 30 years of life, he had never done a miracle. Forget about all that fabricated fantasy that people had written that Jesus did all kinds of miracles as a little boy. The scripture said his first one was in John 2. Here is the first miracle, and he turned the water into wine, and the purpose was what? So everybody can have a happy wedding and a good party? No. Scripture said in chapter 2, verse 11, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. Things started happening when people who were in the know and realized, whoa, all that was in there was water, but now we have the finest wine we could ever have. It was not to bail out the situation that they ran out. It was to display his glory as God incarnate. Only God can do that. You have the whole sum of the whole thing right there. He did a sign. It was a public sign. It manifested his glory. And that is the very glory of God incarnate in him. And his disciples believed in him. Next one, John chapter 4, verse 47 and 8. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son. For he was at the point of death, the nobleman's son. Jesus answered, said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Did you catch that? You are always looking for miracles, But you're not listening to the signs so you can believe. Here you came for me to heal my son, to heal your son. Why did you not come to me? Because of who I am. He ended up healing his son. When the nobleman came, he wanted and was looking for a miracle worker, not the Messiah. He came, the Messiah who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we could say the same thing as the miracle of the lame man in the pool of Bethesda in John 5, the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6, afterward that he rebuked them for wanting food to eat and not to believe in him. And then he followed up, I am the bread of life. Message. John 9, he did the sign of the healing of the man who had born blind. A couple chapters later in John chapter 11, we got the raising of Lazarus from the dead. All displaying the glory of God, the power of God through him. So we have seen his power over death, his power over blindness, his power over nature, his power over deformity, his power over illness. This is evident that he is God, the Son. The final sign came in John chapter 20, the resurrection. Even when we look at the resurrection, which wasn't long ago that we've been dealing with it, like the previous chapter, along with several others in chapter 20, if you go all the way back to John chapter 2, verse 18 through 22, it said this. So the Jews answered, said to him, what sign do you show us that since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy the temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And the Jews said, it had taken 46 years to build this temple and you will raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And if you ever want clarity, all you have to do is read the next verse, which reads, therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the purpose of the miracle. The scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Why go through all these wonders and the trouble of providing a written record? Why? That's where verse 31 comes. Look at it. But these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you have life in his name. The purpose of the Gospel of John is to the witness to who Jesus is and his mission in his incarnation. Just recently, at last week, we remember Thomas, my Lord, my God. You go back to the very first chapter of this Gospel. You have Nathanael who declared to him, you are the Son of God. The blind man who was healed after he was healed and his parents left him out to dry and the religious leaders threw him under the bus and he is kind of bewildered because there were just some things he couldn't answer. It was all settled here in John 9, 35 through 38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out and when they had found him, he said to him, do you believe, notice the word, in the Son of God? Not the miracle worker, the guy who gave you sight, but the Son of God. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? That's the way it always should be. Because of the darkness of the human soul and the depravity of the human heart and dead in their trespasses and sin, unless they're aided by the Spirit of God to see, they will never come But in verse 37, Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you. And I love it. Ah, Lord, I believe. What was the next thing he did? Fell down and worship, which is the proper response. Not live and go out and do your thing. After all, I missed a lot in life being blind. Now I want to go. No, he's worshiping him. Not just the man who healed him to see, but the Son of God. That's what we have here in these statements. The whole purpose of this gospel was to that end. Even Peter later on in John 6:69, also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Our gospel has content. The message we are to deliver has a specific content. People need to know who he is, what he did, and why he had to do it. He had to die for sinners who could not save themselves. Because he is the God of compassion, mercy, and grace. Amen. I love this part. I missed it the first time until I reread it, and then I go, oh, I missed the gem here. Two letters. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yet, Peter, a lot of times, kind of led the charge, but he a lot of times represented the group and was the spokesman. Sweet stuff right there. Not just me, Lord, but we all believe this. Come to know and believe who you are. The gospel of John at the heart of the Christian mission to bring the message of hope of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We see that in Romans 1 verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Spurgeon's favorite phrase, preach it his first message, preach it his last message, not knowing it was his last, but it was. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Doesn't get any simpler than that. What's our message? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Do you know him? Have you embraced him? That's why I love what R.T. Sproul said here. Listen carefully. But he does not finish there. He does not say that these are written that people might believe in the right things, that they might be orthodox, or that their theology might be sound. There is an added purpose beyond coming to the knowledge of the truth of Christ, that believing you may have life in his name. Yes, you need to know these things. But knowing it's not enough. It's coming to know it, to flee to him. To go to him, to embrace him. I could have said a lot of verses out of Paul, but I chose this one for tonight. 2 Timothy 1:12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why? For I know whom I believe and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, sweet stuff here. When we take the time to go back, how you have left sign after sign after sign of who you are, the purpose of your coming, that you were sent by the Father. And in being sent, you gave more than enough evidence of who you are, the Christ, the Son of God. Oh, Lord, help us to not only relish, enjoy, and savor these truths all life long and throughout eternity. May we realize that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation to reach others, by which only they can be reconciled. We are to plea and implore sinners as if God were doing it through us. Oh Lord, help us to be concerned about our fellow man's destiny, and that Jesus came that they may have life to his glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.